All right. And so Big John with Georgia Archery, and I'm here with Ken Wood. We're going to talk about his season and past season and where things are headed for this year. Stay tuned. Well, what's going on, Ken?
Not a whole lot. Just sitting here talking about archery.
Talking about archery. I'm telling you, you had a really good season this year.
I did. I had an absolutely great season, more than I could have ever expected.
Yep. And it's sort of weird because it's you know, me and you've been friends a while. We you know watched archery, watched you doing, and you've grown. This is what fifth year shooting.
I think I shot my first ASA Kentucky of 2017, I believe it was.
Yeah, so 17, 18, 19, 20, 20. Yeah, so you're right there 5-6 years mm-hmm. of just doing at the national level type stuff.
That's correct.
Now, you've been shooting a bow for a long time. You've killed.
I've shot, I was a backyard champion for years. I started shooting when I was probably 19 in the backyard going yep. bow hunting, bought a cheap bow and started with that. And then when I needed a new bow around 2017, I came up here and I bought a PSC carbon
stealth or air, whichever.
It was the first carbon. One.
First carbon, yep.
And started shooting it. And we went out to Charlie Elliott for once and started shooting 3D. That's the first time I really ever shot at 3D targets without Charlie Elliott.
Yep.
And then you had an old boy here named Robbie that worked here, Robbie Surface. He went shooting with me one day. And he talked me into going to, he saw how well I was shooting that bow. And he talked me into doing some 3D.
Yep.
So I come back and I bought another carbon bow mm-hmm. and set it up for 3D. I took a hunt bow, tried yep. to make a target bow out of it.
I remember.
And he talked me into going down to RBO,
yep.
River Bottoms Outdoors. And we shot the K40. Class yep. and I actually won it, the very first one I ever went to. I won it. I think I shot 8 up or something of that mm-hmm. nature, and then that kind of lit the fire under it.
You was hooked.
I was kind of hooked.
And then from there we just kept going,
right? Me and Robbie, we shot that, and then a couple of different times we went out to Charlie Elliott, and we were coming up on Kentucky for the Kentucky
yep,
ASA. Mm-hmm. And I never really even heard of the ASA per se. And he's like, dude, you shoot so good. You're doing so good right now. You need to go to Kentucky and shoot the ASA. So I said, well, what the heck? We'll give it a shot. So me and Alicia, we went up there. And I think Robbie, actually, him and his children came up there, too.
Yeah, I think he stayed in the campground that time.
Something like that. Yep. Yeah. And we went out there. And I really enjoyed it, but it didn't take me about 5 targets realized that these boys up there, they had a lot better equipment than I did.
I said, like, you had the wrong equipment.
I had the wrong equipment.
You brought a BB gun to a big
That's
fight.
Right.
Yeah. I understand that.
And then I shot Kentucky that year. Did not go to Illinois that year. And then the following, we went to Coleman. Mm-hmm. We did go to the Classic. And Alicia actually shot her first ASA at the Classic too. She didn't finish it, but she shot it.
Yep.
But we went there and we really enjoyed it, and ever since then we've gone back more and more and more.
That's right. And you met more folks and hung out. Now you got buddies that were shooting that you met through archery.
I mean, that's the most fun of going to the ASAs. It ain't necessarily, you know, this year I can say, oh great, I had an outstanding year, but for the previous years it was all about
the fun.
It's all about the fun, the camaraderie.
That's right.
And just having fun.
So then you ended up buying, let's see, that's 17. So you bought a tournament bow.
I did. I got rid of the Carbon Stealth yep. or whatever it was, the Carbon 1, I think it was, actually. Mm-hmm. And I got a PSC, what was that?
Shoot-through. I can't remember which one it was.
I can't think of what it's called either. But it was a PSC shoot-through.
Yep.
What was the name of that bow? Anyway, and I shot that bow extremely well.
Yep.
It was a big old white bow, and it was 40 inches actual, and I shot it really, really well.
Yeah. I know. You shot it really well. And then, you know, you we went, we shot together, mm-hmm. still doing the 40 thing.
Right. We were shooting K-40.
K-40. I actually had to talk them into letting me go back and shoot 40. The only reason was is because all my buddies were shooting it. It was like, hey, you know, I ain't shot in 12 years in ASA. I want to go back and shoot. So, and they did let me go shoot. We had a good time and that kind of thing. But you moved on.
We did. We shot the I shot K-40 for, I think, 2 years maybe.
Yep.
Something like 2 years. And then my buddy LJ, he shot K-45. Mm-hmm. So I jumped up there with him, and I think the first one I shot was Foley 2019, I believe it was. Yeah. And finished somewhere in the middle pack in K-45, and he looked at me, he's like, dude, at your age you should be shooting in the senior, because mm-hmm. the scores that you shot in regular K-45, you would have been in the money if you shot senior. So I was like, and, of course, my pride, I wasn't ready to step up senior at the time, but I got to look in, and I was like, well, you know, he makes a valid point there. So I moved up to senior known.
Yep.
And I shot pretty decent senior known.
And it was still a 45-yard range at that point.
Absolutely. Yeah. Senior known was 45, and it still is 45 for senior known 40.
Yeah, they didn't have it. That was the only senior class they had was the known 45 that year.
No, they had a senior known 50.
Did they?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think they had it that year. I thought they moved it the next year.
No, that 19, I'm pretty certain they had a senior known 50.
Okay.
And then did okay. I think he ended up with one podium finish in 19. No, I'm sorry. I take that back. Did not podium in 19, but
in 20.
20 went back, and I finished third in Foley, I believe.
That's right. First one a year.
Yep.
And did, you know, and still stayed in top half, if not. I mean, there were lots of days you put a great day together and a uh-oh day together.
Absolutely.
You did that several times.
Absolutely.
And I know you was frustrated.
Oh, yeah. I have a really good day one day, whether it be the first day or the second day, and then the other day would just be, what the world, what happened? It's archery.
Yep.
And then 20, that was 20, and then 21, I started doing better.
Yep.
And 21, I podiumed again. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up staying more in the top 10.
Yep.
And then 21 is when the ASA at the end of the year says, surprise, we're going to make senior known 45, or senior known, what the actual name of it is.
Yep.
We're going to make it a move up class now.
Yep.
So for 2022, I got bumped into senior known 50.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that they didn't actually have the known 50 put in at first in 18, 19. They had just put it in, and then that's when they said, oh, we need to make a move up because everybody's hanging out in the 45 and nobody's moving into 50. So they made it a move up. And I know you was like, that ain't fair because I just moved into this class.
Absolutely.
You know?
I want to stay down there and try to win more money.
That's right. But you moved up.
So in 2022, I moved up to senior known 50. And I was not excited about that because, A, my primary goal was not to embarrass myself.
That's
shooting.
Right.
You know, I'm okay with being in the middle of the pack and in the upper half of the pack, but I sure don't like being in the bottom of the pack. And I felt like 50 yards was not something that I was comfortable with at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But however, I went to Foley, and the first event, I shot like two down or two up the first day,
yep.
one or the other, and I was really bummed out. And then the next day, I think I shot 20 up.
Mm-hmm.
So then I was like, okay, well, maybe I have a chance up here.
Yep.
And I did pretty well that year. I think I ended up podium third place in Illinois that year.
Yep.
That was 2022.
That was behind
Randy Morocco, Tony Fleischman, and I all shot 24 up that
yep.
weekend. However, they whooped my butt on 12 count.
You shot cleaner. They just had more bonus rings.
Absolutely. I shot a cleaner score
yep.
than they did.
Yep.
And I really should have won it because I really had them beat, I think, the first day. And then the second day, I was just shot mediocre.
Yep.
So I got podium that day, and I was like, okay, well, maybe it's not so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to Coleman, and I did okay in Coleman. I can't remember what I did, but I did fair.
Yeah. But you had and you were still having some of those not so good days and then great days.
Absolutely.
But it kept you in that top half on most of it. You know, you were still on the good side every time. It's like, yeah, you're doing it. And
yeah, I almost won out then.
Yeah.
I wasn't far off of it. I can't remember exactly what number was, but I wasn't far from winning out that year.
Yep. And then so that was 21.
That was 22.
22. So here comes 2023, and now they have a known pro class.
They have a they opened up the senior known pro. Mm-hmm.
Which made two or three, or how many left out of the known 50? Randy's gone, and then
there was Randy Morocco was kicked up. Mike Hulbert.
Yep.
Was kicked up.
There were several that were kicked
up. Yeah, there was probably about four or five that was automatically kicked up, and then there were several more that just went up.
Just went up, yeah. Mm-hmm. But that, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Essentially, your known 50, senior known 50 class got smaller.
Correct.
And, you know, and not taking nothing away from those guys, but some of those guys needed to have been in the pro class to begin with.
Absolutely. Randy is a wonderful dude, but he is – He ran rings around us there for a while.
That's what I'm saying, you know. And so, I mean, and it was not that, you know, it was like, hey, I just got to, if I can keep up with him, I'm there. You know,
absolutely.
And I understood that. We talked about that before. So here comes 2023. They moved that. The pros that were not having a class to go to went to a pro class. And here's your chance. Not saying that, you know, there's not somebody else out there. But it gave you more reason to work harder to get to where you want to go.
Absolutely. That's one thing that I do a lot of. I shoot a lot. My buddy LJ is always picking on me, talking about that I shoot way too much.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, and I do. I mean, I wear it out as much as I can.
That's right.
Because I do want to be successful at it. Mm-hmm. And it paid off. We went to Foley, and me and David Rosenbaum, we shot together, and me and him were neck and neck all weekend.
Yep.
And we actually, I think I beat him by 12 count, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. And it came down to the last shot. We both had a 44-yard length, and both of us hit the 12.
Yep.
And that, if I had missed it, he'd have won.
That's right.
So I got lucky there and got first place.
Yep, podiumed in the first opening for 2023.
That's correct.
And then go to the next one.
And then the next one, we went to Coleman. I'm sorry, we went to Fort Benning.
Yep.
We went to Fort Benning. We fought rain off and on all weekend. It was threatening. And I really didn't shoot that great the first day. I shot mediocre.
It's overcast, too.
It was very overcast, and it was extremely long. It was one of those Scott Parrish, let's make everybody, if you want to shoot 50-yard class, you're going to get
shoot 50-yard class.
And it was dark in there, too, with the overcast.
Yep.
And just didn't shoot that great. And then as everybody was walking off, everybody had their head down, and I started talking to some buddies, and people had known that I won Foley, so they'd come by and want to know what I shot. And then I realized, well, you know what? I'm not out of this like I thought it was.
Yep.
I mean, I shot like in, I think, six up or something like that. I can't remember what it was. And I was like, well, maybe I'm not completely out of it. So then Saturday got out there, shot mediocre again, and ended up in second place.
Yep.
So that was exciting.
So now you're two podiums in, lots of money, and, well, lots of money for as far as, like, back-to-back.
Right.
You know. And now you're going, I'm close already.
Absolutely.
You're close on money.
That's correct. Start looking at that, thinking, you know, I got to be careful here because I'm going to get booted out.
Yep.
But at the same token,
you're not going to stop.
Absolutely not. I mean, that's my greatest fault is you can't hit a 12 if you're not aiming at it.
Yeah. You do like to aim at them.
And so that's what I do. And it sometimes it rewards me and sometimes it punishes me.
That's right.
So we left Fort Benning.
Yep.
And was second place. And then we go to Louisiana.
Yep.
Louisiana, that's a long drive.
It is a long
drive. Long, long drive. But we had a good time. And some reason or other, something in Louisiana food did not agree with me on Thursday night. So Friday, I went into Friday's round just
feeling like
crap. I was struggling Friday round. I shot, I think, three down. I had a nickel. And I think that was my first nickel for the year, and that really, really hurt my feelings.
Yep.
But I wasn't completely out of it then either.
Oh, yeah.
I started looking and listening to the scores.
The same way.
However, on Saturday, my buddy David Rosenbaum, he returned the favor, and he just lit it up. He ended up shooting 20 or 22 up the second day, and he ended up winning it. And I think I did fight my way back up to fifth place.
Fifth place, yep. But still fifth place after a really bad weekend in your eyes of how you've been shooting versus what you did.
Absolutely.
I mean, not bad. And so you come back home, and I guess you shoot a qualifier somewhere in that ASA state stuff.
Oh, yeah. I've been
I mean, you shot at every shoot that you could that we wouldn't. If there was something going on, you went one day the weekend to shoot. I know that.
Pretty much.
He was like, where are y'all going this weekend? Where are you going this weekend? You know.
Absolutely.
And so then, you know, and prepared, and I know you shot every ASA qualifier you could for the most part.
Didn't shoot as many this year as we did historically. But there we, you know, between things going on and life getting in the way, we didn't get to make all of them like we did.
Well, your son is senior graduating.
That's correct.
You had all of that going on. He's trying to get make sure his senior year and get all that going on. So, I mean, and regular life of everything else, work and every, you know, how it goes. But so then we go on, we go to the next one.
So we leave Louisiana, and then we're headed towards Kentucky. And that's about right. about that time, I started talking with the Elite guys.
That's right.
Elite's got a really good team, and they got a bunch of nice people, and started hanging around with them.
And your better, your other half, your partner in crime that rides with you, your ride or die. She was already shooting Elite.
That's correct. Alicia, my sweetheart, she went to Elite, and she signed on there with her girls with Bo's team.
That's right.
And she started talking to me about it. And last year, Ace Archery had a TOG event with Elite, and he brought in Steven Altizer. He brought in the Verdict.
Yep.
And I shot it several times. I spent a good amount of time shooting it that day. And
yes,
I think the third or fourth arrow I shot out of it, I ended up Robin Hood of one of y'all's arrows.
That's right.
And it's amazing how that bow
pointed. Yeah.
So about that time, I decided to go with Elite too. So I signed on with Elite. And my Verdict showed up the day before we left to go to Kentucky.
I remember. Yep.
But there was no way I was going to try to shoot it in Kentucky.
Yep.
So we went to Kentucky. I was shooting a Matthews TRX at the time. Kentucky, I had a good day, the first day I think it was. Mm-hmm. And then the second day I had not so good day. I had a 51-yard Scott Parrott special, I call them. and somehow or another, I shot way high at 51 yards and shot a nickel in Kentucky again.
So now you're at second nickel in Kentucky. Now it's in Kentucky.
That's correct. Yep. And everybody loves Kentucky power lines, right?
Yep.
So, however, I don't know how I did it, but I ended up shooting like 4 12s in a row to finish it out, to get back up. And my buddy Will McDonald, he ended up beating me a second time out of the last three tournaments by 1 point. He beat me by 1 point. So he got first, I got second.
Yep. So there you are again. You're on the podium.
Yep.
Now your money's already stacked, so you know that you're probably going to be having to move anyway.
That's correct. So then we come home. It takes about a week before I'm able to get my Verdict set up.
Like you want it. Mm-hmm. Get everything like you want.
So we did that. We got it set up, and I started shooting it, and really just was pounding with it. Mm-hmm.
You showed up over here. Ace had a shoot.
That's correct.
That was the first time you'd actually run it through.
And that was the second time. I went to Appling Archery first time. Right. And I did well with it. I mean, I don't remember exactly where I finished. Mm-hmm. But I shot it really well.
Yep.
And I was still fighting with my sight strip then. Mm-hmm. It took me a minute. And then I actually missed that my sight once in Appling, which I think did cost me the win.
Yep.
Because I ended up shooting a nickel on a Black Hog at 40 yards. You shouldn't set your sight for 45 if you're shooting a 40-yard.
It ain't going to quite – it don't
work out very well.
Yeah.
So then right after that, me and Curtis Broadnack and I can't remember who else shot it. His brother Kevin and Brody. We all shot over here at Ace where when we did our three.
Yep.
And I lit it up that day. I shot two rounds, and the first round I shot 22 up with it.
That's right.
And Curtis beat me by 2 points. And then the second round, I ended up shooting, I think, 16 up.
Yep.
With it. So I was feeling really confident with it.
Yep. And then you was ready. I mean, you felt like that you was had done what you needed to do. Tape was where it needed to be. Tune was where it needed to be. And now you get to head to, I guess it's Illinois, right?
That's correct. We went to Illinois. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, you got this new bow and you're going to do well. And I was like, yeah, I'm feeling really confident with it. I really did. Went to Illinois, shot really pretty decent with it. And I ain't going to say I shot the best. The first day I shot 8 up. Mm-hmm. And did okay. And then as people were walking off the range, I was listening to what scores were. So I knew I was in right in there the in it.
Yep.
And then the second day, I ended up shooting either 14 or 16 up, I believe it was. Something that, somewhere around there.
Yep.
And managed to win by, I think, 2 points. I beat, I call him Big Mac, Carl McKittrick, I think his name is.
McKittrick,
he was second place, and then Kenneth Hensley was third place. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that really boosted my confidence there. And then I knew that I was pretty much
done.
I was pretty much done. Shooter to year points going into the last one, I had, I think, 40-point lead in shooter to year.
I was going to say 38, 40 points.
Mm-hmm. Right around 35, I think it was, 35.
To go in the Classic, you were right there, you know. Right. In other words, as long as you held on, you had that. So now you're sitting there. But we have all of July.
That's right.
So we had to. We just happened to host the state championship.
We did. We worked really hard. We got the state championship all set up and everything, and went into that. And me and my buddy LJ, we were shooting, and that turkey ended up beating me by 2 points again. However, I ended up winning the state championship.
And shooter of the year, right?
Well, I would have won shooter of the year, but we didn't have enough people.
But you were the number one spot for it. We just didn't have enough to give out shooter of the year.
That's correct.
And then LJ on his end, he shot shooter of the year and he won it. So he, you know, both of y'all was doing very well.
Absolutely.
Y'all worked your butts off to get that course set like it should and did what it did. We had a good crowd, and nobody had no complaints. As soon as we had somebody say something about this core looks a little shoddy, we went out there and fixed it, you know?
Absolutely. The state, it turned out, I got a lot of compliments over that.
We did. That's, you know.
We did a really good job with that. It took us a minute. One of the things that I explained to a lot of people, because some people, the very first shoot we had, you know, we had the shoot off the dam.
Yep, because we didn't have time to, it was brand new.
That's right, it was brand new. We didn't have time to get in there. The landowner had something going on. I can't remember exactly what it was, but he had something going on, so we couldn't get in there. Mm-hmm. And then when we did, we did the best we could the first round.
That's right.
And a lot of people, we did hear some grumbling about shooting off the dam. Mm-hmm. So then we all got a team together, and we went in there, and we worked on it. It took us weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yep, cutting lanes.
And it.
And we kept moving a little bit, so everybody seen a little bit of it as we went. And,
yep.
You know, things
and it
got
turned
better.
Out great. It
turned out good. So, like I said, I appreciate all the guys that helped do that and helped set that up. And you were one of them and a big part of it, so I appreciate that. But you did went in there and shoot it. I tell you what's funny is because y'all shot together, you and LJ. And somebody goes, well, don't they shoot on the same team? I said, I'm telling you right now, you don't want to shoot in that group. He said, why? I said, because they're harder about scoring 12s than anybody else. I said, they ain't going to give it to none of them. I said, I promise you that. And they go, well, you're right. I didn't think about that. So.
Oh, yeah, that's one thing I've never understood about people, you know, why you want to fudge your score if you do. Because
you ain't helping yourself.
Absolutely not.
For sure.
And we're going to call them as we see them.
Yep. And so we went, you know, had that 200-plus people, 200, 230, I think is what it ended up being for the weekend. We had a good time. And then, you know, we had guys drive from Fort Myers, you know, Florida, 10 hours to
absolutely.
Come up and shoot it. And then Mike came up to shoot that. And people came from Tennessee. We had people from all over the Shirley from North Carolina, you know, the Carolinas, he came down, and they were all, you know, said they liked it and this, that, and other. It was great. But now, here it is. It's time to go to the Classic.
Time to go to the Classic.
And you done put your bow to work statewide, in Illinois, so you know you had it where you needed it. You just want to keep going, doing what you're doing. And tell me about that weekend.
So we went to Coleman.
Yep.
First of all, it was hotter than Hades over there. It was muggy. It was rain. It was thundering. It was a mess. That Thursday night, we got there Thursday for the team shoot.
Yep.
We went out for the team shoot. I think I got to shoot a total of 3 hours in the team shoot, and then all heck breaks loose with the clouds.
With the rain.
So they kick us off the course, and that night it just was an absolutely nightmare. I feel sorry for Scott Parrott now, because they had a lot of work to do on Friday, where they wouldn't even let anybody except for the pros come to the event on Friday.
They didn't have anybody. I mean, the village was closed, no parking, nobody there. They knew they needed to get the pros to get their keep their time so that it's Friday and Saturday, so that they could make the TV show, you know, make the TV time. So they had to let them in. But everybody else, I mean, there was a lot of cleanup to do.
Absolutely, because it was a heck of a storm to come through there. So anyway, we did not get to shoot. The amateurs did not get to shoot until Saturday.
Yep.
So I think my shoot time was 11:30 on Saturday, and you had an option that you could shoot both rounds if you wanted to the same day, or you come back the next day. And I went into it with the mindset that I was going to shoot one round Saturday and one round Sunday. However, if I felt like that I was going to light it up on Saturday, I would have kept going.
Keep that momentum, yep.
Well, Saturday was the day that you just sat there and scratched your head. I started out, and the next thing I know, I'm six down. Mm-hmm. Six down on the first day, and halfway through, and I'm just sitting there trying to figure out what it was, because the bow holds steady. I guess when it starts to matter and you actually think, okay, this is my last tournament, people start expecting you to do good.
Yep.
You have the Shooter of the Year title. You know you pretty much got it wrapped up, but still you can't – nothing is said and done until the
– fairways are, things. That's right.
So for some reason my bow was not holding steady on Saturday. It looked like a drunken monkey holding
–
having a seizure.
That's right.
And anyway, so – somehow or another, I managed to battle back up from six down to eight up in the last several targets.
Yep.
I hit some long bombs, upper 12s, which was phenomenal. That saved my hide. So, long story short, I did not shoot my second round on Saturday.
Because you're like, this ain't where going. I gotta step back and regroup, right?
Absolutely. So, which, you know, come Sunday morning, I regretted that decision.
Yeah.
Because when me and LJ walked into the lanes that we shot, mm-hmm. as soon as we stepped off the road and looked at the lane, we both looked at each other and said, oh, ooh, crap, because it was super dark. He shot my first range on Sunday, and yep. I shot his first range on Sunday.
Yep.
And so I was walking through his range thinking, oh, my Lord, please let my range be a little bit lighter. So I get back to my range, and it wasn't quite as dark as his range. I shot C the first day, D the second day. Well, D range on the second day was a little bit lighter than C. However, the sun was coming up behind a hill that you had to look up.
Up over, yep.
So most of the targets were just silhouette. Mm-hmm. And then the ASA... the nice gentleman there, they turned some of the targets around, so you didn't have some aiming spots that you normally would have. And it was a very, very rough day. And I stuck around even for most of the day, and then I crawled it to two up, then I crawled it to four up, then I crawled it to six up, then I crawled up to eight up, and I was like, okay, I might have a chance at this. I was sitting in first place. And then John Wheeler, he shot a 38-yard deer, and he likes to shoot uppers too, and I'm an all-upper shooter. Mm-hmm. And when he shot the upper, I think he caught the bottom of the upper, but his arrow kicked up and blocked.
It wasn't very friendly upper, right?
It was not a friendly upper.
Yeah.
And I sat there, and I contemplated and contemplated. It almost burned up my whole time until finally I'll say, well, I'm going to shoot a lower. And I do not like shooting lower. I just don't. Well, ended up shooting that lower and shot a daggum eight. Eight underneath it. So that was very disheartening. So then I shot the next several targets. I was barely missing. Again, my pin, like it was, it done had 42 cups of coffee and two shots of crack. It was bad. And I ended up staying six up all the way through till the last target. It was a 49-yard antelope, I believe it was. And I pulled back on it, and when I made the worst shot all season. However, it stayed at 8, thank goodness. But, I mean, I just had a jitter. I don't know if
– two eights on the range and all of the pressure you put on yourself to make sure that you did your job.
That's right. Yep. And it – it stayed at 8, so I ended up 4 up, ended up 12 up for the weekend. And then as we were walking off the range, some of the people that I knew that were close to me, they started talking about their scores. And I was like, okay. And then got down there, started watching the score pegs, or scoreboard rather. And all of a sudden, my name popped up as the winner. So I double dipped.
Yep. You got the classic win and shooter of the year.
Absolutely. And I ended up winning the Elite Gnome.
I was going to say you was in an Elite Gnome.
Now, the Elite Gnome, we shot it on Thursday morning. Mm-hmm. Me and Curtis Brodnack and LJ Bondy and Alicia Bett, we all shot it together on Thursday morning. And I lit it up. Mm-hmm. My pin, LJ and them said my bar was shaking everywhere, but I lit it up. I went into the last target 14 up. And then my best buddy, old Curtis Brodnack, was talking smack. And he was worried about me kicking his butt, and he jinxed me, or I jinxed myself, one or the other.
You listened to his talk.
Yep. Him and LJ tried to block my upper. That's their defense mechanism.
Yep.
And I ended up shooting 8 on the last one, so I shot 12 up, 12 up on the Elite.
But you won it also.
I won it
also. So you had a really good weekend.
I did.
You've had a really good season.
I did.
Essentially, you got every top end that you could get, you know.
Yep.
You know, podiumed at most and did everything you needed to. And that puts you over the money limit, and there ain't but one place to go.
There's two places to go, but there's only one place that I can probably afford to go, and that'd be senior known pro.
Pro.
Yep.
So you get to go back with Randy Marco and the rest of the guys.
You get to go shoot with Tim Gillingham. Randy Morocco, Mike Holbert.
Yep, a bunch of guys. They're good guys. It's absolutely good, you know, so I think you'll do fine. I think you'll have fun.
We'll see.
I know me and LJ is making jokes about who's going to hold the umbrella.
Right.
Because, you know, your buddy LJ's always, y'all always travel together. And he's been your travel partner for a while. And I was like, well, if I get to go one, I'll hold it for you if you want me to. But, you know. But on that note, if you're going pro, means you're going to pay more fees.
Absolutely.
And your sponsors' checks should get a little bigger.
Well, let's hope so.
So, essentially, right now, I know that you have an Elite sponsorship.
Yep, I shoot with Elite.
You have a Victory sponsorship.
I have a Victory Archery. Arrows. Uh-huh.
Tac Veins?
Tac, I don't have any kind of official thing with them.
I got you. All right. And then who else do you have official with?
I'm staff shooter with Bowfinger.
That's what
Bowfinger Archery.
Bowfinger, that was it. So I mean, essentially, their pro checks are a little bigger. So hopefully, we can see you in the shoot down. I mean,
you know, that's the most exciting thing. You know, someone asked me yesterday via Instant Messenger. They were asking me about the Senior Gnome 50 versus Senior Gnome 45 and whatnot. And then they started talking about the Senior Pro and how excited I am going into it. And I told him, I said, well, you know, I am and I am not. Part of me, you know, $305 a shoot is not exciting to me at all.
Yeah.
And then the pressure that I put on myself to not be on the bottom of the list, that's going to be, you know, stressful for me. And then, but the exciting part is that you are going to get to shoot with pros. Yeah. I never went into archery to try to be a pro.
Pro. I remember that. I
mean, and, you know, my sweetheart, Alicia, she's always said that I'm pro status, I'm pro material, pro status, and all this stuff. And I said, no, I'm not. I'm just the average guy that shoots for fun.
Well, see, that's what most pros start out as, is average guys that shot for fun, and they enjoy it to the point that they put the time and effort in to get to the place where they become a pro. And then it's the same thing. It's just you're with on the top half of things. So.
And that's what I told the person yesterday. I said, I always want it to be fun. I don't want it to ever be to the point that it's so stressful that I don't look forward to doing it.
Exactly. So
we'll see how it plays out.
Yep. And I just, you know, I wish you the best for next season. I know I wish you the best for hunting because you got one more tournament you're going to try to win next week or this weekend.
This weekend. Dixie Bowhunters.
You know, you're going to be the Dixie Bowhunter Jamboree.
That's right.
And you won it last year.
I won it last year. I've had very good success there. Yeah. I've won something there all 3 years that I've been to it. Actually, my whole crew won last year.
That's right.
I mean, LJ won the
LJ
Open.
And Alicia won the female, and you won the seniors.
And we did not shoot together.
No, I remember that.
Thank God.
Yeah, because that would have been just all y'all, yeah.
Absolutely.
But like I said, I wish y'all the best for this weekend, and wish you all the best that you have for the next season, and hope that we get to watch you on TV.
Yeah, if I make it on TV and I make it to the shoot down, I just don't want to be the guy that shoots it in the curtain.
Well, Tim's there, so you never know what Tim will do.
Right.
I have watched Tim shoot one in the curtain and then hit the 14s out. You know, it just has happened that way.
Well, that's going to have to be my next practice. I'm going to start practicing shoots 14s.
Shoots the 14s, that's right.
Right.
But, I appreciate the interview. I wanted everybody to see, you know, I like to hear, like, 5 years of shooting, essentially, and where you came from to where you went and how you know. This sport's very addicting. I mean,
absolutely.
It is, you know. And a whole bunch of great people. So, I appreciate your time today. And, you know, the best of luck. Best of luck for deer season, too, because I know you're a hunter. You got a few of those little bucks on the wall, right? So,
a few.
So, we appreciate your time, and you have a good one.
You too, buddy.
All right.
All right, bye.